There's a new law in Texas related to abortion, and we're going to talk about that right now with the Human Coalition Action Texas Legislative Director, Chelsea Yeoman. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Chelsea, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to be here, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about this new law in Texas.
Well, I'm sure that our audience has heard that 13 other states have passed heartbeat bills, but Texas's heartbeat bill is completely unique and different and takes a really novel approach to abortion regulation. And because of that, I actually think it's very constitutionally strong. So for those in the listening audience who are not maybe familiar with the heartbeat bill, the Texas bill essentially makes it illegal to conduct an abortion after a heartbeat for that preborn child has been detected.
Well, I thought that's the gist of most of the heartbeat bills, right? Once the heartbeat is established in a baby, then they're not allowed to have an abortion at that point?
Yes, but the legal way that the Texas bill does that is different than the other heartbeat bills because it is entirely enforced through civil lawsuits. Whereas most states, you think of abortion regulations, the government, the state government, is in charge of enforcing that regulation and prosecuting abortion providers for illegally conducting abortions. But states have held, you know, that the federal courts have held time and time again, they've enjoined governments from enforcing those bills. And so the Texas bill says, okay, there's no state enforcement, no government enforcement whatsoever, but private actors can bring private suits against abortion providers in state court. It gives them standing to do that, and it's very unique and different, but I think it's procedurally going to be very, very strong.
Huh. So how would this actually work?
So how it would work is if an abortion provider, they'll be on notice that abortions conducted after a heartbeat is detected is illegal in Texas. If they were to conduct an illegal abortion on a child with a heartbeat in the womb, a private citizen, say the child's grandmother, organizations like mine, Human Coalition Action, any person in the entire state can bring a lawsuit in state court against that abortion provider and sue them. And for every child that they have illegally killed in the womb, it's a $10,000 fine. And so abortion providers now have to face the risk of incurring that kind of liability if they want to conduct illegal abortions. And then, of course, in state court, they can raise constitutional defenses if they want. But it's going to be a lot more difficult because, again, there's no government activity for a court to enjoin. The courts can't say, state of Texas, you're no longer allowed to enforce this bill. It's never going to be enforced by the state of Texas.
Oh, I see. So a lot of you're saying that basically around the country where these different heartbeat bills have taken place, they've actually been passed by the state legislatures. They've been stalled in the courts, and this is a way around that. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. This is a loophole. It's common. You know, there are other types of legal causes of action like this. But essentially in the Fifth Circuit held, if there's no government activity, years ago they held this, if there's no government activity for a court to say their unconstitutional activity should be stopped, there's no activity to be stopped. And it's a really unique way to look at it, but there's some law out there that this is really strongly standing on, and I think that it's going to be interesting how it shakes up in the court.
You know, as we go down the road further and further when the whole issue of abortion, one thing that's really struck me, and I've been involved in just at least communications, Christian communications, for a few decades now, and I remember, 30 years ago, we were always talking about how there's 1.4 million abortions a year. Now, there's a lot less than that, and I think the biggest difference between what happened then versus what happens now is related to the different state laws, just kind of restricting abortion in this area and in that area, different states. And those laws have passed, all the different legal challenges. And maybe this would be another law that could help, again, get people to not have so many abortions.
Yes, that is certainly the hope. It is exactly as you're saying. States are constantly trying to really get around Roe and say that we want to protect unborn children in our state, that unborn children, they matter, they have dignity, they are human after all. And so for states to continue to, in spite of the courts, do their job, which is protect the most vulnerable in their states, those are absolutely efforts that Human Coalition Action applauds and supports.
Here's a quote from you. If a heartbeat law had been in place last year, about 47,500 precious human lives would have been saved. That's, do you mean in Texas or do you mean throughout the whole country? Just Texas alone. Wow.
In Texas alone. And that should be telling to everyone. There's still about 800,000 abortions nationwide every year. And that's an exorbitant number of lives lost. So yes, that number has been decreasing, but make no mistake that you need advocates representing you in your state, at your government, and at the federal level who are saying life is important. And we now know more than ever about that unborn life in the womb. We know that they aren't just a clump of cells, right? That they have heartbeats and neurological waves, and they're humans who are just little humans still developing, and they're worthy of protection.
How did you personally get involved in the issue of abortion? I mean, why are you involved in this work? Tell me about that.
Well, I think it's intuitive to me. I am a Christian, and because of my view on God and his creation, that I think he created each human with dignity and a purpose, and he's numbered our days and counted the hairs on our head. And so we just have value because we're human. And then from there, I think that there's nothing worse out there occurring. I mean, what else can you imagine? 1 million children a year dying and us just sitting back and not being involved. And so for me, as just wanting to be a voice for the vulnerable, a voice for the voiceless, I have to go to that cause and say, we need to eradicate abortion and let's find ways to serve women and do that. Let's advocate to do that. But to me, there's no greater, more dire consequence or harm than unborn children dying.
And what does Human Coalition do? Explain. I know it's a pro-life organization, and I believe I've read somewhere it's even the largest coalition of pro-life organizations out there. But how do you work?
Yeah, so we have two sister organizations. One is Human Coalition, and they started about 10 years ago just serving women on the front lines. It's a network of clinics serving women who are seeking abortion day in and day out. And they actually hit their 20,000 children saved mark this week. Incredible, exciting things there. And they realized, look, we will do so much more work and be able to reach so many more women seeking abortion if we do advocacy on their behalf. We have a wealth of knowledge about why women want abortions. Why don't we translate that into meaningful policy reform at the government level? So they opened my organization, Human Coalition Action, and we advocate for women and their preborn children and say, we want to end abortion, and how can we do that in ways that serve our communities well?
You know, it's interesting. AOC, who's, you know, very popular on the left, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the very liberal legislator, you know, congresswoman from New York City, she said recently that she's a Planned Parenthood baby. She said that her mom benefited from help that she received before AOC was even conceived or while she was in utero, which I find amazing because it seems like usually Planned Parenthood just kind of goes out to kill the babies, not to help the babies get born. But tell us about that, if you would.
Yes, I think that there's a lot of misconceptions, frankly, about what Planned Parenthood does. They are the number one abortion provider in the country. And so their abortion services outnumber any other services they provide 30 to 1. So it's 30 abortions for every one other service they provide. And the truth is there are tens of thousands, I think I read 22,000 Medicaid accepting entities who are healthcare entities with real doctors and nurses on staff able to serve women that don't provide abortion. So the truth is there's so many other organizations and healthcare entities that are out there that I think could happily and readily replace Planned Parenthood any day now.
So in effect, really, AOC is a Planned Parenthood survivor, not a Planned Parenthood baby.
She's a survivor. That is such a good way to think of it. She's lucky that she made it out of Planned Parenthood alive.
Now, I understand there's some other legislation that Texas is considering related to the pro-life issue.
Yes, Texas has had the most pro-life session in Texas history. We're really grateful for that. I think it's indicative of a culture that's very pro-life. But the other big bills that we're supporting is our bill, the Every Mother Matters Act. It's in the House committee right now, waiting to be put on the floor. So if you're supportive of it, call your Texas members and ask them to put it on the floor. But the Every Mother Matters Act would say that every single woman, before she obtains an abortion, gets an offer of assistance. Help with domestic violence, it's a human trafficking screen, resume building, job employment help, whatever the woman needs. A lot of reasons women seek abortions are tangible, saying we will help tangibly meet those needs and come around you through private and public community services and save her child. And we really believe in it. We think it's a really holistic way to approach abortion because we have no guarantee Roe will be overturned. We certainly hope it will, but if it's not, we need to think through some other strategies for how to decrease abortion. And I think Emma is a really great way to think about it.
Okay, and why are the abortion rates so high in general? I mean, for example, unfortunately, there are situations where there are churchgoers that commit abortion. I mean, I think in general, as far as the church at large is concerned, there's a feeling against abortion, but there are some people who go to church and then they do get abortions, sadly.
It is really sad, and I think that I read somewhere 30% of women sitting in the pews get an abortion, actively attending church, and so this is certainly something in the walls of our churches. It's something that needs to be addressed, but predominantly what our clinics are saying is that women need help. They feel like they're facing impossible circumstances. Some of them live with abusive partners. Some are homeless. Some just simply can't afford to feed the children they already have. And so as a community, as a church, we would love for this to be resolved privately, right? Having churches say, look, we'll help provide childcare that's safe so that you can afford to pay rent and have your child at the same time. Let's walk you through Medicaid sign up. I mean, they're very tangible things that women don't know what they're eligible for. It's a lot to navigate in a crisis pregnancy. And so having people come alongside them and just be a support system for them really is the number one deterring factor for abortion.
And it's interesting, too, that the other side uses the phrase pro-choice. Obviously the baby has no choice in the matter, but even more important than that, or even, this is a factor that people don't even think about. I've read in different studies that most of the women that have abortions don't feel like they had a choice. So it really wasn't a pro-choice type of thing. It was something they were kind of forced to do by their loved one, by their mom and dad, or, you know, whatever.
You're absolutely right. Most women, I think the number is in the 60s, like 64% of women say that they don't feel they have another option. And I think what Emma does is it provides those options. It says, all right, let's get you information. Let's get you applying to jobs. Let's give you real options, long-term solutions that really rectify the challenges she's facing day to day. Otherwise, she walks out of an abortion clinic with the exact same set of circumstances she walked into, only now there's an unborn child that's been killed, and she has to live with that the rest of her life. And so you're certainly right that I think a lot of women, it's important to understand why they're making these decisions. And if you talk to them, a lot of them are made out of duress. I have nowhere else to go. I don't know what else to do. If I have this baby, my boyfriend tells me I'll be out on the street. And so really understanding that this is not what you might think of in your head as a woman who just wants, no one wants to abort their child. I think they're facing really difficult circumstances and they need help.
Okay, we're out of time. HUCO, that's HUCO action.org, correct? For more information?
That's it.
Okay, thank you so much, Chelsea. All the best.
Thank you. Always appreciate it.